Hey, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning, Asbury.
Good morning.
So glad to see you all. For those of you visiting, we're certainly glad to have you. Well, hopefully through the word that the preacher brings, through communion, through the music and the words this morning, you guys can hear the word, hear the message, and we're so glad once again that you're here. So, Scott, if you're settled back there, count us off. Let's get this room warmed up. Please stand up with us and sing. Go.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me.
Here we go.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising. All the joy is growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God's song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your
sing
love
it
makes
out.
Me sing.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Our hands together.
Hallelujah, your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Here we go.
Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, 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 your love makes me sing.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning, Asbury. I'm so glad to see you all this morning. Welcome to our visitors and guests. And I hope that you'll pay attention to some of the things that we've got going on in the life of the church. I know that school's starting soon, and with school, we have our minds set on things that we want to do for those that are in need. I'm going to be mentioning this in the message in just a moment, but we're going to be adding a food pantry to our Good Samaritan closet, and just be very mindful of those that may need extra school supplies and things like that. I'm sure Laura could get those to the people that need those. Do we have our announcements there scrolling? There you go. August the 7th, that would be today at 2 o'clock, there's a youth parent planning retreat for our young people looking at the fall calendar, and Amy always has lots and lots of great plans. And any time that you all want to help with the youth, like help chaperone, help just be that extra safe sanctuary person there for an event or a regular weekly activity, I know she'd really appreciate that, and you will be blessed. Any time that we've worked with the youth, we're always, always blessed because they teach us as we try to lead them, and it's just remarkable how great they are. So the next thing that we want to be sharing about is you'll notice at the back of the room we have a receptacle, and that is for placing your change for change. And Rachel Golden's going to be coming up and telling us a little bit more about that. But start keeping your pocket change and bringing it to church on Sundays. And the other thing that we want to share about is we are going to be having some construction going on this side of our physical plant of Asbury as we are adding an additional infant room. Yay! Our infant ministry in our child care school is really growing. And so I know the young families of Little Rock appreciate how Asbury reaches out to them by offering this wonderful quality and Christian care. So those are the things that I wanted to share this morning. And I'll have you pass the peace of Christ in just a moment. But Rachel's got a very important thing to share with us. And we have something important to share with her. It's her birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Surprise!
Happy birthday, dear Rachel. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, well, thanks. So I'm sharing just a little bit about the heart of Change for Change. Annie, listen, this is important for all kids and everyone of all ages. So just start thinking about, from a spiritual perspective, how the spark and spirit of the Lord can grow through the very smallest contribution. So in the book of Acts, we know the story of the Pentecost when the apostles were gathered together in one place and the Holy Spirit descended upon them. And it was called tongues of fire, the flames of Pentecost. And so 2,000 years later, imagining that miracle and believing that such an event can still take place really in different ways, we call upon that same spirit of fire, the passion, the inspiration to declare and share our faith in Christ. So this month of August, we are bringing back the Change for Change mission. And it's an opportunity for everyone in the congregation, old and young, pennies, quarters, whatever change you have lying around, visitors and longtime members to help make a powerful impact locally and globally through our shared giving. So we hear this term shared giving a lot. So what is that? Also called apportionments. Well, as United Methodists, we contribute a portion of all giving towards a collective effort that helps fund missions, ministries, many other initiatives locally, nationally, and globally. Congregations small and large, from Little Rock to San Francisco to Africa, join forces to positively impact the world in powerful ways. Shared giving happens every year at Asbury, and Change for Change is a chance for us to help achieve our annual goal while also informing the congregation about some of the wonderful ways our shared giving changes lives. The extra change we contribute this month will help fund local ministries like Camp Aldersgate, where kids with all types of disabilities can experience the joy of summer camp, and area connectional ministries like new church development and disaster preparedness and response. It also helps support institutions of higher learning tied to the Methodist Church in Arkansas, including Hendricks College and Philander Smith University. Your spare change helps support pastors with moving expenses when they are assigned to lead new churches in a different area. Your dimes, nickels, and quarters, and even pennies will strengthen the Lydia Patterson Institute, which is in El Paso, Texas, where students cross the border from Mexico to get a safe education in a Christian school. Your pocket change also travels the globe through the World Service Fund, which finances missions to fight malaria, plant new churches, and educate new pastors. It serves the poor, enables youth events, and helps support retired pastors. Throughout August, you'll hear more about shared giving and what shared giving does to support the hands and feet of Christ in Central Arkansas and all the way throughout the world. Look for Change for Change containers here in the WAC and in other places at Asbury. So our container is right back there. There's also a container outside the sanctuary in the narthex. So just as those who gathered on that Pentecost day, we live in Christ more fully when we don't do it all by ourselves. We can't do it all by ourselves. We rely on each other. We rely on our church because faith grows in community. Each person has the potential to help others become closer to Christ, and together our individual sparks become a steady fire and the Holy Spirit works in even more powerful ways. So please give today some change for change.
Now won't you please turn around and greet your neighbor, and especially reach out to those who are visiting today as we exchange the peace of Christ.
Sing this with us.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart.
So remember.
So remember your people, remember.
is your love.
Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along.
Come on, sing along.
So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
God, I sing.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. For me.
So remember,
so remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God.
All right, sing it out. Here we go.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Heaven reaches out to us. Your grace is enough for me.
God, I sing.
Your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. For me.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Sing this with us.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than hearing your love, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than hearing your love,
no place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. Good morning, Amy. We have our kids come forward this morning.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all? Good. All right. So the Bible tells us a story about a man named Zacchaeus. Has anybody ever heard of Zacchaeus? Yeah. What was the deal with Zacchaeus? What was special about Zacchaeus? Okay. He was a tax collector. Yeah, maybe. What else do we know about Zacchaeus? Mm-hmm. Jesus stayed with him at his house. Was Zacchaeus really big or really little? He was really short, right? Zacchaeus was really short. So everybody's kind of sitting down on the ground. Y'all kind of look around. Is it hard to see from way down there? Is it kind of harder to see when you're sitting on the ground? Can you see better, you think, when you're standing up? Yeah. So it's hard to see things down there, right? If you were this short, you might get lost because you couldn't see where you were going. Like if you were this short walking through the grocery store, it'd be hard to see where you were going, right? And Zacchaeus, because he was so short, he might have gotten a little bit frustrated. Jesus was coming into town, and he really wanted to see Jesus, but he was too short, and he couldn't do it. So, okay. Okay, so now can y'all see? Now what can you see? Can y'all see me anymore? No, right? Because there's tall people in front of you. So Zacchaeus had an idea. He saw a tall tree, and he went over it, and he climbed all the way to the top of the tree. Y'all pretend like y'all are getting taller. So y'all kind of stand up. Okay, kids in the back, stand up. Y'all go down. Keep going. Okay, now what can you see? Jesus, right? Because you got taller, you could see Jesus all of a sudden, right? So now we can all see Jesus. And you know what? Jesus could see Zacchaeus. Jesus even told Zacchaeus to come down from the tree so that he could take Jesus to his house. Jesus wanted to be Zacchaeus' friend because he loved that little guy. Jesus loves us too. He sees us all the time and wants to be our friend, no matter how short or how little we may feel sometimes. Jesus loves us. Okay, let's pray. Can we all pray together? Okay. Dear God, thank you for loving Zacchaeus. Thanks for loving us all the time, no matter how big or how little we are. We love you too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Amy. As we go to our God in prayer, I would ask that you look in the bulletin and please keep those people in your minds and your hearts whose names are listed. Also, we have one addition. Please pray for Georgia Sowers and the loss of her sister. Let us go to our God in prayer. Most loving God, in this moment, we gather in anticipation. Because you said to us, wherever two or more are gathered, there I am also. So we've come today to worship, to experience your presence. Help us to remember that every day and every moment is an opportunity to experience your presence. And sometimes it's not just a matter of waiting for something to happen. Sometimes it's acting upon the Christ that lives in our heart to bring the presence of Christ where we are. What a miracle that is. What an honor that is, oh God, to think that we might actually be that kind of vessel to share Christ, to even be Christ to someone. Lord, as we go through the cities throughout the United States and visit the summer, We've seen those whose home is on the city streets. We've seen those who struggle. And we are aware in our comfort that we don't know what struggle is. Oh, yes, sometimes the cash may be a little short. Sometimes we might not feel the best that we do on most days. And sometimes things at work can be just nuts. And sometimes we just want to tell someone in the family to grow up. Lord, we all have our lives and they take us in different directions, and that's why we need you so much, because you center us. You bring us back to the cross. Today, as we prepare to celebrate Holy Communion, we're going to remember not only that cross, but that grace that you have given us through the cross. So now, Lord, again, we ask for protection on our homeland, for those serving abroad. And yes, Lord, we pray for peace, reminding ourselves that we begin that peace by our daily walk and how we treat others and what we say. Lord, we pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We lift them up. And we come to you today very mindful, and sometimes not mindful enough, of our sins. And we thank you for your forgiveness. That we pray this prayer in the confidence of being redeemed in the love of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give God our gifts, I know we do so with joy. And I know we do so remembering how our gifts touch so many. So as we give, let us pray to God. Most gracious Lord, again, your bounty upon our lives is endless. So many blessings. And now, Father, it's our privilege and joy to give you these gifts. And it's with excitement and anticipation that we look forward to how you will take these gifts and use them to touch lives and to make a difference. So we thank you, O Lord, for this act of worship as we give you these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.
To the
Amen. Thank you.
Let the people of God say, amen. This morning I want to share with you a familiar story, as Amy has already alluded to, with our children. And for those of us who were brought up in the church, it's a familiar story, the story of Zacchaeus. But for all of us, I would hope that we would listen to the word of God this morning and do so as if we're hearing it for the very first time, and just see, as you read it on the screen and as you hear me preach it, if you don't notice just something that perhaps you never caught before. So may the people of God be enriched in this reading and hearing of God's holy word as we find it in the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not on account of the crowd, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, so I must stay at your house today. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to preface my message today by saying that a couple of years ago, Tony and I went to the Leadership Institute in Leawood, Kansas, and it's just a wonderful conference for clergy and laypersons alike to go and to just refresh, glean some ideas perhaps from other people who are coming to the conference, and to just get some great spiritual food. And while we were there, Drew Seminary professor Dr. Leonard Sweet held one of those sessions. And ever since then, I have kind of read the Bible a little differently. He tends to focus on an object in the Old Testament or the New Testament and wrap a narrative around it. And so the object or metaphor, he's called it narophores. And it's wonderful to see how he's done this. And today I want to share with you, quite heavily I may add, from his book, Tablet to Table. Tablet meaning the Ten Commandments. And table as we see it today. I want to visit with you about the idea of the table and what it has meant to us from the beginning of our faith heritage to where we are in this moment. Someone once said, you know, I can sum up the Bible in six sentences. You can. Yeah, I'll take the Old Testament first. They tried to kill us. We survived. Let's eat. Passover. New Testament. Gospel of Jesus Christ. I love you. I forgive you. Let's eat. The table. It's been with us since the beginning of time. Jean LeClerc states the best definition of the gospel that she'd ever heard was that Jesus ate good food with bad people. This was so accurate a description that a satirical street rhyme went viral about him. He was a drunkard and a glutton and ate with sinners and publicans. Jesus' dining experiences became a lifetime of bringing people to him, of making disciples. If you go and read John's account of the wedding at Cana in Galilee, the wine just happened to run out, if you notice, about the time that Jesus and the disciples came. Jesus didn't have a chance to go get something to eat at the reception. No, Jesus often did not eat because he was taking care of people first. Sometimes he got so preoccupied with his work, his mission, he didn't eat. As much as Jesus enjoyed food, people were always in his heart first. But the point remains, Jesus was killed due to his table manners and his table talk. That's because he didn't care who he ate with. What they did, or where the food was served. For everyone was to be fed. but not just with physical food, but for what he had to share, God's love. But the Pharisees, always out to get Jesus, actually used a table for a trap. He was a guest, Jesus was, in the house of someone, and there were Pharisees there eating as well. And there was a guest there that had heard about Jesus and how he could heal, and he came to him at some point during this evening, and he had a swollen belly. And today, I won't even go to the different kinds of illnesses he may have had, but you can kind of gather. And he came to Jesus for healing. And Jesus looked straight at the Pharisees and he said, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" They didn't reply. Jesus took their cue. He talked to them about something that they realized about their own livelihood. He said, if an oxen was stuck in a ditch and it happened to be the Sabbath, would you allow that animal to suffer? Or would you pull it out of the ditch? And if we will be that kind to animals, shouldn't we at least be that kind to a human being? And they didn't say a word. Food was also a reference point for Jesus when he was not eating. The disciples were concerned about this. And he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you know nothing about." As we examine our faith in Christ, we see that the table affects our lives and reflects our lives. When we think about our Christian worship, we see how the table has been woven in to our faith practices. And we get that from Jesus. The table, the Last Supper, all those post-resurrection experiences where he was eating with the disciples or cooking for the disciples. Even in our earliest introduction to Jesus, we find him at a table. After all, they laid him in a feed trough, a table at the stable. Food and faith just go hand in hand. I don't need to tell you that. You're Methodists. There's one thing Methodists know how to do is how to eat. And there's one thing that Methodists know, there's always room for one more. We're part of a gourmet gospel. And as we sit back and reflect on some mighty good fried chicken and coconut cake and all that that we've had at various church potlucks, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention to you that not too long ago in Arkansas, Democrat Gazette, there was an article about Arkansas being mighty, mighty bad on the scale of things in childhood poverty and hunger. That shouldn't be. I can't stand it to think about children hungry. And we have in our own congregation, Deaconess Colleen Caldwell, who's part of the conference initiative in the program there, called 200,000 Reasons, because there are 200,000 children that are hungry if they're not during the school year. Perhaps their last meal is going to be what they get at school. And brought to my awareness is, if there's a snow day, they may not get fed at all. They're home. Summer, I don't know about that either. And then we have wonderful Carol Godwin, who heads our Good Samaritan Closet and the care team and missions. And we're going to open us up a food pantry. Oh, it won't be huge, but it'll make a difference to those who come by and need some help. And we're going to all be a part of that because I'm telling you, as senior pastor of this church, this day, this year, we're going to work on this. Amen? Got in at 1:30 this morning from San Francisco. Yesterday, while we were going to one of Tony's business dinners, we had a cab driver. Well, this is a good cab driver. He was from Ethiopia. He'd come to America for the dream, for the better life. And he had done it right. Gone to taxi school and learned how to do all these things and even saved up to have his own car so he can set his own hours. And it didn't happen overnight. It came with struggle and dedication. And he speaks really, really good English. And as he was driving us through, he was talking how blessed he felt he was as pocket after pocket after pocket of the homeless were assembled. And he said, San Francisco's got 21,000 homeless. I don't know what it is here in Little Rock, but it's too many. And I know we can't force someone to take their medicine. I know we can't force someone to try and get a job. I know all those things. We can't force someone to get help that has an addiction. But we can treat them like Jesus would treat them. Amen. Because the fact is, I think at times we can be a little guilty of being Pharisaical. I mean, we're pretty good, aren't we, at going to the fellowship suppers and passing the food and going to church council and passing a program or a policy or going to annual conference and passing a resolution. We're pretty good at that. Is that what Jesus really wants us to be focused on? Don't we need to pass a little bit more love, truth, compassion, and generosity? You see, at the table, we don't just feed people. At the table, we form relationships. We share memories. There's not a one of us that can't probably think about the year 2000 and that Thanksgiving or 2010, that Christmas. We know who we were with. We were with family. We know what we were doing. And we remember the food. Oh, when someone passes out of the family, oh, it won't be the same without Mama's dressing. Or, oh, I miss Aunt Carol's pies. You see, at the table, we form these memories and we share these relationships based on the textures, the smells, the memories, and we swap stories. Tony loves holidays. He gets to tell all his stories twice. And the Stone Soup Ministry. We're not just there a couple of hours ahead setting up tables and chairs and slicing and dicing fruits and vegetables and stirring together pots on the stove in the sweat and heat of August to prepare a meal. We're not just doing that. We're going and we're having conversations with these people. We are validating their lives. We are saying, you are worth me telling you who I am and having a conversation with you. You are worth me sitting here and listening to your story. But the thing is, don't expect them to tell you how they got to this point in their life. Because they, like you, appreciate a little privacy. We try to respect that as well. Jesus taught us it wasn't enough to feed someone, but we must feed their soul. It's interesting, these relationships. You know, when you first start out dating someone, probably your first date is going to be going out to eat, maybe going to a movie. My first date with Tony was at Wai Yin's, Chinese food. I hardly ate a thing. That's what we women do on the first dates. When we get more comfortable, it's open season, but first date, Chinese food. I remember in 2003, we went to the Amish country, and one of the things that our bed and breakfast host told us about was that we could go and have a meal with an actual Amish family in their farmhouse, that several of them did this for the tourists. And I'll never forget sitting at this long wooden table, kind of felt like the Waltons, and not the Fayetteville Waltons, the Mountain Waltons, and this long wooden table, and sitting around talking to people that were strangers 5 minutes before. And the grace and the pride that the Amish had in serving their food that they had made, that they had grown, and that now they shared. It was a memorable experience. Christian families have been learning about sharing together, learning from one another at the table for generations. It's a part of our heritage. It's a part of our roots. You know, I didn't know my grandparents, all but one were deceased when I was born. And so the Methodist minister that I've referred to before, who was pastor at Asbury years and years and years ago, I never knew him. He died before I was born. So the only way I knew him and really formed a relationship with him was through the stories. And one of the things that would happen from time to time around the table is we'd compliment mom, say, "Oh, that was so good," you know. And she would smile with a twinkle in her eye, and she'd say, "Daddy would say that's larrapin." "Larrapin?" I'd never heard the word larrapin. She said, "Well, he used it all the time." "Well, thank you. I promise you that's not in the Arkansas Conference Journal under the biography of my grandfather from way back." Larrapin. Stories, things that we know, things that we wouldn't know otherwise. In the Jewish culture, of which we are Judeo-Christians, in the Jewish culture, to form the pact of friendship, you did that over a meal. We know that today, that when we prepare a meal for others, that it's a very special occasion, a very special occasion at my home. You're supposed to laugh at that, I don't cook. But today, many people only set the table when they have someone over or a special occasion. And I want to share with you a few statistics that I read that are startling to me. The majority of U.S. families report eating a single meal together less than 5 days a week. And even then, dinners together are mostly in front of the TV or some event. Now get this. Parents spend only 38 and a half minutes per week in meaningful conversation with their children. We are losing the importance of Christ's table. And I'm going to go a step further and say an untabled faith could lead to an unstable faith. It's where we connect. It's where we're not in the middle of being distracted by somebody at work or something here, and we're snatching cell phone conversations and text messages and all that. We've lost the art of conversation and of connecting. And it affects who we are as Christian people and our faith. We know that meals eaten out are generally higher in fat content and salt content and caloric content. We know that eating at home is usually better prepared health-wise. But here's some more statistics. We eat one in every five meals in our car. One in four of us eat at least one fast food meal every single day. U.S. households spend roughly the same amount on fast food as they do groceries per week. 60 years ago, the average dinner time was 90 minutes. Now the average dinner time is less than 12. The number one factor for parents raising kids who are drug-free, healthy, intelligent, kind human beings, frequent family dinners. The number one shaper of vocabulary in younger children, even more than any other family event, including play, frequent family dinners. The number one predictor of future academic success for elementary age children, frequent family dinners. One of the best safeguards against childhood obesity, eating meals together. The best prescription to prevent eating disorders among adolescent girls, frequent family dinners that exude a positive atmosphere. The variable most associated with lower incidence of depressive and suicidal thoughts among 11 to 18 year olds, frequent family dinners. That's how important it is to partake together at the table. When the girls were young, it was a ritual for us on Sundays after church to have our meal there at the house. And the girls would call it manners meal, because I would kind of do a crash course in cotillion right there. And today they still know their dinner fork from their salad fork. They know to keep their napkin in their lap. They know to say excuse me if they needed to leave the table. And they looked forward to that. They were all dressed up from church still. It was time to be ladylike and sit down and be civil and have a meal together and discuss things. And I'm hoping that now Katie and Shannon do the same thing with Lane Austin as she grows. Jesus defined family differently. Again, in the Jewish culture, what was going on? You got married, and you procreated, and you carried on the generations of the Jewish faith. Can you imagine what an oddity Jesus was, not only to Nazareth, but beyond? Not only was he single, he was a rabbi. Rabbis, above all people, were the ones that were teaching to get married and have families. But Jesus didn't stay in the nuclear family. He left his nuclear family and became a part of a greater family. Brothers and sisters of the faith. And it included all kinds of people from all walks of life. And Jesus ate all kinds of food at all kinds of tables, at all kinds of places, with all kinds of people. And to be a disciple of Jesus then and now is to love to eat whatever Jesus is serving up, no matter where he sets the table. Jesus defined what it means to be family, just as he redefined what it means to break bread. And as we are about to break bread in remembrance of him, we remember that he chose his last meal to be not with his mother or his siblings, but with his new family, the family that would bring the kingdom of God on earth, the disciples that would spread the gospel throughout the world. And following his crucifixion, he arose in glory as he said he would. And he cooked breakfast. And he made a table out of a circle of stones and some fire. Jesus' disciples became his family. Jesus ate with his new family, his male brothers and sisters of the faith. When Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, Jesus was saying, do table in remembrance of me. Share my story as you share your story. And together, don't you see, it's our story wrapped up in the blood of the cross, in the redemption of his grace. It's our story, hallelujah. It's our table, hallelujah. Let us prepare to gather at it, shall we? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We've broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Amen. So the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord took the bread. He gave thanks unto God. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. And after the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks unto God. And he said, this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it, all of ye, in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice and union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood, by your Spirit. Make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy name, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. Amen. Well, those who are going to assist me, please come forward at this time. And as they're coming forward, let me just share with you that we have gluten-free wafers for those of you that should like to have that. We have the basket here that is simply there should you want to give money for our community fund, which helps the needy. And also in the United Methodist Church, you do not have to be a member of this congregation or any congregation in order to receive the Lord's sacrifice. So let us now prepare to receive. I need all of you to use the hand sanitizer.
at the table of the Lord. Well, I will feast at the table of the Lord. And I won't hunger anymore at his table. Well, I will feast at the table of the Lord. Well, I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at his table. Come all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. He is able, he will restore at the table. There is peace at the table of the Lord. There is peace at the table of the Lord. I won't worry anymore at his table. There is healing at the table of the Lord. There is healing at the table of the Lord. I won't suffer anymore at his table. Come all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, his burden light. He is able, he will restore at the table. Well, I know he has a place for me. What joy will fill my heart with saints around the mercy seat of God. Come all you weary, I'm invited to the table of the Lord. I'm invited to the table of the Lord. And he says, come just as you are to his table.
Before we stand and receive our blessing, hear this grace. We have feasted at the table of our Lord. We are now receiving the sustenance from that food. But we're not just to keep it to ourselves. We're to share the table that spans around the world, the grace and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we go forth and do that today. Amen.